Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have passed the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
We're pushing 50 people going to Washington, D.C. this weekend. Looks like it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. And I keep hearing from people every day. I'd like to come. Do you have more room? Blah, blah. Listen, you guys watch the show. I don't do this very often. If some of you could throw $25 into the hopper, it would help us. We've rented two huge vans, those 12, 15 passenger vans. And it's cost us about $350, give or take a few bucks, for a couple of days. We've rented two of them. So that's $700, almost $800 we've put in those two vans. So anybody out there that could kick in $25 here and there, would help. We've charged people for $65 for the hotel room and all that stuff. But we have a lot of expenses that have been building up around it, and 50 people coming. And so praise the Lord that others are stepping to the plate. And now's the time, folks. I'm just telling you, now's the time. Bear with us here. We're going to have our friend Ken Wan from Oklahoma is going to be joining us here in a little bit. He's got a fascinating – his face just lit up as he was giving me his testimony the other day. And I said, man, people got to hear this. So bear with us here if you can. I want to start off with something a little different today, and then we'll get into it. David Lankford's daughter – David Lankford wrote a – Pastor David Lankford – if you're familiar with the Hagman Report or anything like that, Pastor David Hagman, David Lankford's a regular on that. And David Lankford wrote a prayer that his daughter read onto, I don't know if read it on his show, read it to YouTube or whatever. And I listened to that and I said, you know what? This is something our crew ought to pay attention to. Because I want you, Mike, if you can get that up there, we'll open with prayer. It's about 5 minutes. Doesn't matter how long it is. But I want you to understand this. That David Lankford's daughter is reading this prayer, and I want you to listen closely. Just you know, silently pray along as she's praying. But I want you to notice the number of biblical principles that are included in the prayer the pastor wrote. See, so many of us when we pray, Lord, please take care of Terry and Jimmy and blah, Lord, be with Mikey today. Mikey's got a hard day at work. And that's all good, pleading to the Lord. But folks, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth not much. We know that the power of the spoken word, the power of the prayed word is really, really, it's powerful. So I asked Mike to get this prayer up there. And we'll take a few minutes and we'll just let his daughter pray the prayer that David Lankford prayed, and if all of us, we'd just be in an attitude of prayer. And by the way, this might be something that you want to keep aside, and when you get up in the morning, you're doing your daily devotionals, or before you go to bed at night, just pray. Let her read this prayer, and just be in agreement with her, because I think it's powerful and effectual. So go ahead, Mike. Go ahead and play this.
Hey everyone, I'm here today to bring a small prayer that many of you have asked for concerning our world and America. You guys have asked my dad to say a prayer, and so he's typed up a prayer here that I'm going to read to you guys. You can also find this link under the video, so if you want to click that, and you'll be able to print out the PDF form so you guys can also say this prayer. A prayer for America and the world. Father, we come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord's Christ. Jesus, you have declared you possess all power according to Matthew 28:18. when you said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, in thy name, we ask that you execute judgment within the earth for your righteous name's sake. The prophet Isaiah declared in Isaiah 26:9, for when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Thus we plead for you to execute righteous judgments not only in America, but throughout the entire earth. We stand on your promises as you look for righteous men and women to decree and to declare the truthfulness of your most holy word. You asked a question in Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? As the redeemed of the Lord, we take it upon ourselves through thy holy name to help us to stand against all the evildoers through our prayers and through the declaration of your most holy word. We remind you of your word according to Psalms 37:35-38. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passes away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Father, in Jesus' name, during this time of uncertainty, we put our complete trust in you. As the righteous judge of all the earth, surely you will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. We believe you're going to reveal all the hidden injustices along with all the hidden iniquities that have secretly contrived by all the workers of iniquity. We believe as your covenant children, you will execute righteous judgments against all evildoers. We confess Psalms 10:15, break thou arm of the wicked and evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. As your sons and daughters, we fully understand we can do nothing without you. Therefore, we humbly petition you concerning all the evil and unrighteous deeds that are being secretly committed and hidden like leaven within our nation and throughout the earth. We humbly petition you, shall not the righteous judge of all the earth do that which is right? As your sons and daughters, we also humbly ask for your divine forgiveness for all of our sins and iniquities. We also confess our presumptuous sins as well. We ask that you mitigate and lessen the civil unrest that Satan seeks to bring upon America and the entire world. Bring Holy Ghost conviction upon every wicked doer, wherever they are, so that they too might be spared, but might be spared your fiery judgments, and that they too might find mercy in the day of judgment. Smite every ungodly and unwicked leader within America with Holy Ghost conviction, so they will repent and publicly acknowledge their sins and evil deeds. As your covenant children, help us to understand that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin will damn and destroy any people. Please forget not our humble cries as we plead for both judgment and righteousness within our nation. Father, we ask all of these things in the mighty name of your holy son, Jesus, the Lord's Christ.
Amen. 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 That's powerful, isn't it? Praying the word like that, that's powerful. We'll put that in the chat.
Amen.
And maybe, Mike, we ought to make this part of daily what we're doing. So I want to hat tip to Kevin Fay, he sent that to me, and I wanted that to be part of it. So God bless you. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, the Bible says that wherever two or more agree is touching any one thing. We got a lot of people here that prayed that prayer of agreement. That's a powerful prayer there. I got my shirt on today. Let's see myself here. No, I ain't wearing no mask. Now, this morning, last night, yesterday, I pinned a commentary at newswithviews.com entitled Take Off a Mask and Save America. It's pretty powerful. I'm not going to take time to read it right now. Maybe I will later on. Hey, folks, listen, please hear me. I believe the Lord has given us a strategic plan. I believe that he has. And I didn't even know it as it was coming to me, and I didn't even know it as I wrote it. And the strategic plan is this. We talked a lot about it yesterday in the after show. I believe we need to force mass arrests. I hate that term. Folks, listen, masks is the very beginning. If you will not push back against a mask, you're not going to push back against a vaccination. You're not going to push back against confinement. You're not going to push back against anything. We are right at the very end of what I think is this first onslaught, and that is the forcing people to wear masks. If you want to wear a mask, God bless you. God bless you. Masks do not work. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it real slow. Masks do not work. And I can show you data and study after study after study that masks do not work. Masks are a muzzle, folks. The Lord told us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we saw that day approaching. And the culture is doing everything it can do to divide us. Now, if you can't see that, that the Lord says gather together and the world says divide, if you can't, I don't even know what to tell you. If you cannot see the conflict of those two statements. Lord says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even more as you see that day approaching, and the government saying, don't assemble. It's conflict. It's conflict there. And so when I watched that video that Peter the Russian made the other day, and then yesterday, I went to Walmart yesterday, walked in like I owned the place. Of course, they're chasing me around somewhat, trying to get me to put a mask on. Is there anybody but me that before you get out of the car, you think, do I have to put a mask on to go in here? Are masks dominating your life, or what the heck is going on? And you look around, you walk in there, and you're the only one that doesn't have one on. I'm tired of it. I don't want to be treated like that anymore. And so I'm going to put together a plan. We need to put together a plan where locally, Larry, locally, Randy, locally, whoever, we need to get 10, 15 of us and go into one of these places that tell us we have to wear a mask and go in there and refuse to leave. 20 of us, 25 of us, 30 of us, 50 of us. Say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to leave. And then let them call the police and let the police arrest you for what? Violating some ordinance. There isn't a law. There is no law against it. And once the cat is out of the bag, the people realize that it's not a law, that it cannot be enforced, then we'll have a chance to begin pushing back against it. So
yeah, you're absolutely right, Coach. But there's one caveat that we need to take into account. And in a lot of places where it is not a law, it's just a suggestion or a recommendation from the official or something like that. The store owner or whatever may or may not call for an arrest. But if the police do follow through with an arrest in that case, then it's not, you know, it's a false arrest case against the individual policeman too. But the thing is there's going to be places where they try to pass pretend laws, or they pass, like in Myrtle Beach itself, they've passed a city ordinance. It's not a resolution. It's a city ordinance that masks be worn. It does exclude from health reasons and stuff, but see, that's where it is already an ordinance, where they have made it a mandate by law. It may be an illegal law, but they've made it by law in their process. That's where we have to do the mass arrest, because that's where we can get the mass number in. When you're doing it the other way, it's just here or there, you might be arrested. But when it's a law and you start forcing that issue and you're breaking the law on purpose to get arrested, man, make them arrest you.
Okay, folks, listen. I don't want to make this show all about that. But we'll go. I want you to know I'm working on a plan to do it, because I believe whether it's an ordinance, whether it's a law, they don't have the right to do it. They don't have the right to do it. And if we don't push back against masks, we will not. Does anybody think I'm wrong? Raise your hand if you think I'm wrong. Raise your hand if you don't see the fact that they're just conditioning to do exactly what it is the government does based on fear. Anybody raise your hand? And why won't we fight back? Because we're afraid to go to jail. Well, if 20 of us go, we'll have a big party inside there. We won't be in there.
The world gives us a weapon, mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction. Okay, good. So I just want all of you out there to know that I'm dead serious about it. In fact, that's what I wrote about today in news with views.com. So,
hey,
Jack.
This would be a lot easier to do against a bad law if we would protest for the existing laws, like Article 1, Section 10. If we enforce that against their will, we are enforcing the law, and they are breaking the law, but we don't get that.
But Jack, here's what we don't get. Here's what, folks, listen. Here's our problem. I just see it as clear as a bell. All of America thinks that elected officials, judges, can do whatever the hell they want. That's what happened. That's what the whole election debate's all about. Judges making rulings that they have no authority to make. And people say, well, the judge ruled. The judge ruled. Well, good for him. But it didn't. You don't have the authority to do that.
Exactly.
And so we are so conditioned to think that the government has the power to do whatever the heck they want to, that we no longer fight back. Look, can you look closer here? I'm fighting back. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take the stress my wife's under every time she leaves, saying, honey, am I going to have to put on a mask? She got thrown out of Goodwill yesterday. My wife got thrown out of Goodwill because she wouldn't put a mask on. Goodwill. I want to focus on this. I do, but I don't. I don't want. Let me cover a couple things here real quick. I'm going to get Ken Wan in here. He's going to make us laugh with that testimony he's got. I'm telling you. Oh, man. We're going to D.C. tomorrow. Got, like I said, about 50 people. Some of you are coming to my house and leaving to my house. Some of you are meeting other places. Listen to me. Craig Mickle, God bless Craig. He lives out in Hagerstown, Maryland. He put together a map, an agenda of how we're going to get around, where we're going to go. I'm still looking over it. I'm still doing finishing touches on it. I promise everybody who's going, we will have to you available to you an agenda so you'll know exactly what's going on, where to be at this time, where to be at that time, where we're staying. We're going to try to keep everybody together. That's one of the reasons why we're taking two. Jack's coming with a big van. I'm coming with a big van so that we can move a lot of people around. We know there's going to be a lot of people there. We know it's Friday night. We factored all that stuff in, folks. But we're going to go to the four cornerstones. Anybody bring that up there real quick, theboundarystones.org. I've already found the locations of each one of those four cornerstones. And we're going to pray over each one of those cornerstones. Slide on down, Mike, if you will. On your screen right now, you can see it. There it is. Those are all the cornerstones, by the way, laid in that triangle that you see, that diamond, that is Washington, D.C. Okay. And so we're going to go up there at the top. It says Silver Springs. Can you point at that, Mike? We're going to go to that stone. We're going to go clear out. Okay, good. There's the north. You can go back. We're going to go to the over the. Yeah, come on. You're going the right way. Come on over this way. Out there. We're going to go to that stone. That's it. That's the east stone. And you don't have to click. You don't have to click on if you don't want to, Mike. And then down at the bottom, we're going to go to the stone at Alexandria, Virginia. And then we're going to go over the ones over by Falls Church. So we're going to cover those four stones. We're going to pray over those. We're going to take authority over those, over that demonic, Masonic spirit or whatever is on that thing. Then we're going to go inside Washington, D.C., Mike. We're going to pray at there's Capitol Hill. You see it on your screen. We're going to pray at the Washington Monument, and we're going to pray at the Capitol Building. So we're going to cover those six targets while we're there as we join in the parade and everything that's going on. So that's – I'm working on all that, and I'll get all that all out to you before we leave tomorrow, okay? Any questions at all? Anybody understand, see what's going on? What a place. Boy, this is – hey, this is ground zero, baby. This is ground zero, okay? Okay, Mike, go back. Thank you, Mike, for doing that. What else did I want to jump in here real quick, make sure I cover before we do? Good news. Really, 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 really good news. Again, thanks, Craig. Serpent Mound. Let's not forget about the Serpent Mound, the 20th. That's a Sunday, the 20th. For those of you who are close to Ohio, that'll be like next weekend. We're going to go to the Serpent Mound down near in Adams County, down where old John Brockhoff lives. And we're going to go down there and we're going to pray, and we're going to pray that kingdom down too. So I'll get you more information about that as well. But if you are in 100 miles of that area down there and you can make it with us on next Sunday afternoon, about noon, we're going to get there. We'd love for you to come and be part of it. And then maybe we can find a place where we can sit down and get something to eat and not have to wear a mask and fellowship a little bit together. So those are two big things. And again, thanks for Craig for doing all the behind the scenes work for us. States are rebelling. The states are rebelling. Mike, click on that. I'm sure some of you saw this. Maybe you didn't. That's why you're here, because if you didn't, I'm going to show it to you. Now, remember when Texas filed the lawsuit? Look at this, folks. 18 states. The 18 states in red have all filed lawsuits against the blue states. The 1, 2, 3, 4 blue states where we know there's unmistakable cheating that took place. How about this? Even the state of Arizona, it's not up here. They did last night. Arizona's in. So now it's 19 states are suing these other 4 because of why? Because they're not equal protection under the law. Everybody, if you have time, listen, the local state is able to determine whether you can have extra time to vote, but it has to go through the legislature. The House and Senate in the local state has to change the election rules. The judge can't do it. The Secretary of State can't do it. The head of elections can't do it. And in those 4 states, that's exactly what happened. And when they violated and gave extended time for people to vote and changed the rules about whether you had to have signatures, all that stuff, that violated the 14th Amendment, the equal protection under the law clause. And 19 states are now suing those 4 because they say we were disenfranchised. I believe, I'm not a lawyer. I have a lawyer who's a friend. I think this is game over. Now, I don't know what the solution is going to be, but this is game over. These are clear violations by those 4 states. This goes directly to the Supreme Court because the only court having jurisdiction over the state, two states having a conflict, the only one has authority over that is the U.S. Supreme Court. This thing's going to be at the Supreme Court very, very soon. Dave. And hang on, Rod. And I've been calling Dave Yost, our AG here in Ohio, saying, where the hell are you? Where the hell are you, Dave Yost? So some of you need to begin doing that too. Yeah, Roger, go ahead.
Oh, if you get a chance, read the motion to intervene by the president who outlines the whole Texas thing. It's wonderfully written. But I think, you know, if they do not take up this case, rule in the favor of justice, then we got a whole different show after that battle.
What do we do, buddy?
If that, you know, they say the next thing is that Trump will put in place the Insurrection Act and call in the military, because nobody can look at what is happening and not say there's been corruption and there's been a stealing of an election. It is right in front of us. So Texas, praise God for your actions and the 17 other states that are getting involved. That's all I can say.
Roger, if I'm a judge, I'm one of the Supreme Court justices, and I'm looking down and say, holy smokes, 18, 19, 20, 22 states? 22 states say they've been ripped off? I think they have to do something.
Hey, Coach.
Well, they do have to do something, but Dave, there's been a lot of evil preventing a lot from going on the last 4 years. That's hard to say. You know?
Yeah, it is. It is hard to say. Yes, somebody else.
If you look at that map, look at where all the states are, right in the middle of the country.
Yep. Now, Missouri's coming on board from what I understand. And if Ohio comes on board, and somebody tell me why Kentucky wouldn't and why Iowa wouldn't, huh? Why wouldn't they? There's a lot of pressure being brought for sure. But it's good. Yes.
No, I got on here late. I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but I heard something that maybe the Supreme Court won't necessarily rule in favor. What they'll do is they'll say that in the Constitution, the states have a right to bring grievances against other states they feel they were violated, and that what the judges are going to do is they're going to say, okay, you 4 states, you have to have the legislatures decide the electors, not the Secretary of State.
That's right. And Paul, it is the state legislatures, And it's overwhelming. It's like 27 to 19 Republican state legislatures, 20. I believe it's 27 to 19. Those numbers don't add up to 50, do they? But it's something like that. all of these states have Republican legislatures, so that, including Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. So that when they kick it back to when the Supreme Court comes down and says, listen, those four states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, your elections are invalidated. It then falls to the local state house government. Okay. To cast those. That's the way I understand it. I don't want to get bogged down on this. This is going on, but it's good. This is good stuff. This plays in line with what Sidney Powell's doing and Rudy are doing. This plays in line with it. It's another layer.
Well, Coach, I believe the way that works is it's not so much as whether each state picks their own electorals, but if it goes to the House of Representatives, then each state gets one vote, and it is right. Either a 29.
I think it's 31-19, I think, Dale. 31-19.
Yeah, it's 50 states, and each state gets one vote, and you're not allowed to break party rankings.
That's
in other
right.
words, if it's yep. a majority of Democrat or a majority of Republican, you're bound to vote party line.
So if those four states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, if the Supreme Court of the United States says those elections are invalid, it goes to the state house. That's where I see it. It's going to go to the state houses. And it's 31-19 Republican. And they, as Dale said, have to vote party line. In other words, a Republican can't say, well, I don't like Trump. I'm going to go vote for it. No, can't do that. Can't do that. And you also know there's an investigation now publicly come out. Joe Biden's under FBI investigation or a department, and Hunter Biden as well for their dealings. Folks, we're in the middle of a cataclysm. Like we ain't never been in the middle of.
And they removed that lady from Michigan. Who yes, went out did. Basically threatening people yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, let me ask you this. How desperate do you think that they would be to remain in power?
Pretty desperate, Chad.
So there's not anything that they would not do.
That's right.
To stay in power. And if they lost, then there's not anything that they wouldn't do to, out of desperation, say, well, if I can't have you, no one can. That's what they're going to be.
Yes, sir. That's what I, yeah. Brace yourself, baby. brace yourself.
Amen, Chad.
Yep. It's wow, what a time, huh? What a time to be alive. I'm messing over here. Where did I lose that thing? There I am.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Everybody thought Mark Taylor was crazy when he prophesied about the military tribunals, but there's a lot of folk talking about that now.
A lot of people talking about it, too. And as I heard somebody say, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was, it doesn't matter. All those guys that prophesied that President Trump would be reelected. Hey, friends, you looking at me? He was reelected. He was reelected. I'm just trying to steal it from him. He was reelected. So, well, we're in for quite a bumpy ride here. So it's all good, though. Hey, I get a chance to read what I wrote today. I got to do one more thing, Ken Wong, before I bring you in here. 5 minutes. It's only 5 minutes. Bear with me, folks. This is Bill Gates. Mike, you see the video there. This is a five-minute Bill Gates video about talk. Well, you're just not going to believe it.
Real quick, okay. Coach.
Yeah.
The things that the off-the-track compounds with black guards and fencing, the rows of internment, camp-looking buildings that were eyewitness from friends of mine, okay? And then the ones Joe's talked about, the ones that are all over the country, we talked about what are they going to do with these camps, right?
Yeah.
And it was so far away, but now we can really see why they may have created a place for a mass amount of people descending.
There's 32 of them. And they're not on the map.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's start by not wearing masks. Let's start there. This is a real Amen. Quick briefing, 4 minutes, 15 seconds. This is Bill Gates in 4-13-05, 15 years ago, briefing the CIA. Are you sitting down? Go ahead, Mike.
Individuals who are religious fundamentalists, religious fanatics, and this is the expression, RT-PCR, real-time PCR expression of the VMAT2 gene. Over here, we have individuals. So let me complete. So over here, We have individuals who are not particularly fundamentalist, not particularly religious, and you can see there's a much reduced expression of this particular gene, the VMAT2.
They're saying we're crazy. Gene. We're saying we're crazy. Christians are crazy.
That supports our hypothesis for the development of this approach.
By spreading this virus, we're going to eliminate individuals from donning on a bomb vest and going into a market and blowing up the market.
So our hypothesis is that these are fanatical people, that they have overexpression of the VMAT2 gene, and that by vaccinating them against this, we'll eliminate this behavior.
Vaccinating them?
Some very, very remarkable data in this next slide. Here we have two brain scans. These are fMRIs. These are two different individuals with different levels of expression of VMAT2. On top is an individual who's a religious fanatic and individual, and we've repeated
That's
this
me.
Numerous times, that
That's
has high levels of VMAT2. Now, this individual down here who had low levels of the VMAT2 gene, this individual would self-describe as not particularly religious. In each case, these individuals were read a religious text. This individual lit up the right middle frontal gyrus, shown here, and that's a part of the brain that's associated with theory of mind. It's a part of the brain that has to do with intents and beliefs and desires. In marked contrast, here's an individual who would not particularly self-describe as religious, and when they're read a religious text, what you see is that this part of the brain called the anterior insula lights up. This is a part of the brain that's associated with disgust or displeasure on hearing something.
Are you suggesting I take a CT scan with me when I'm evaluating people to determine whether I put a bullet in their head?
So the data that I'm presenting here supports the concept that we're proposing, and I think that we would not propose to do CT scans or fMRIs on individuals out in the hinterlands of Afghanistan. The virus would immunize against this VMAT2 gene, and that would have the effect that you see here, which is it's essentially to turn a fanatic into a normal person. And we think that will have major effects in the Middle East.
Vaccination to do this.
Well, so the present plan and the tests that we've done so far have used respiratory viruses, such as flu or rhinoviruses. And we believe that that's a satisfactory way to get the exposure of the largest part of the population. Most of us, of course, have had those viruses.
There you go. We'll put that in the link. Isn't that something? A respiratory virus. A respiratory virus. Wow. So anyway, get a vaccine for it and it'll go away, right? And so will your religious beliefs. They'll go away too, you fanatic.
Yeah, fun vax, Coach. That's what they called it. Fun vax.
It's unbelievable, isn't it, friends? It's amazing. Yeah. But see, again, people don't want to believe this kind of stuff's going on. That's why you tune in here every day. We're on the cutting edge, aren't we? There's the evidence. Take that and share that with everybody. Out of Bill Gates' own mouth 15 years ago. They want to get rid of religious fanatics.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I have a theory about Bill Gates. You know, people say he's not a scientist, blah, blah, blah. Well, he sounded like he was a scientist there. So maybe he was using his Microsoft company to create viruses and computer systems and learn how to combat that. Now he's turning it on human beings. I don't know.
Boy.
That's a theory.
Amen.
He's of his father, the devil. I can promise you that. And the works of his father, he will do. Amen. So we'll get this link in the chat and share it with others. And if those of you who are watching it aren't in the chat, just email me, say, Coach, yeah, send me that Gates video and I'll send it to him. Share with everybody, folks. This is what's going on. This is unbelievably wicked. And again, comes back to what I said. I'm not wearing a mask. If you won't push back against a mask, you ain't going to push back when they come. So as Larry's been trying to warn us, all of us, we have to prevent this from before it ever gets rolling. And the way we do it is say no to masks. First place we can start. Mike, let me do this because I want to share this, but I don't want everybody to. I don't have a liberty. I got this email this morning because when I write my commentaries out, people say, "Hey, way to go, Coach! Sounds good." And I heard from this gentleman in is it Oregon? Let me see here. Yeah, he's in Portland, Oregon, wholesale grocer in Portland, Oregon. Here's what he wrote me this morning. This is just part of the email. I'm sorry you can't see it. Stay with me. He says, "I've been in the wholesale grocery food service business for over 40 years. This guy supplies grocery stores. We have been doing business with some of our accounts for over 20 years. 20 years. Same clients. Over 58%, that's 6 out of 10, over 58% of our customers' trade base has closed their doors. 60% of his customers, the small grocer, has closed their doors. Why? Or is on some type of restricted hours because of the COVID, and it is slow strangulation," he calls it. "All of this massively pathetic decline is due to the unfounded fear-mongering perpetrated by a few godless degenerates. And we follow these absurd mandates, not even laws, right into the fires of hell." That's just the opening paragraph of what he sent to me. So I think we have an opportunity here to do something with the mask. Amazing. Cool. All right, let me switch gears here. Kenwan Folsom. Mike, get his website up. I sent that to you. Kenwan came out with Joe. By the way, folks, we went about 2 hours in the after show yesterday. 2 hours. When the show was over, all the people that are in here stayed in here for 2 hours. And it made me ask myself a question. Because the discussion yesterday was pretty much about nutrition, vitamins, minerals, what we're eating is killing us. It was really, really good and really, really informative. And it showed me that I got to bring in more people who can address this. This is really, really a place of interest, a point of interest for people. But Kenwan, I didn't know him at all. He came out with Joe Esposito. Joe brought him with us. Kenwan is a electrical engineer. And this is his website up on there. And I'll let him talk about his website and what it is he tries to do. But Kenwan's all over this X-rays and Wi-Fi, but it's so much more than that. So Kenwan, I'm going to shut up here for a minute, and I'm going to let you explain first of all what you do, and then you got to explain to me. You got to let these people hear your testimony of how you found Jesus, because it's unbelievable. Come on in, brother. The floor is yours. You have to unmute there, Kenwan. You got to go on that little microphone and. Still can't hear you, bud. Still can't hear you. Still can't hear you. Hey, folks, he's the electrical engineer, and he can't even unmute. Is there anything we can do to help him out there, Mike?
Push the button with the microphone on it.
Push the button with the microphone on it. Tap your phone. Hey folks, he's smarter than me. So if he's having trouble with it, I don't know what do you suggest we do, Jared, Mike?
I would call that brain freeze.
We're still not hearing you, pal. Still not hearing you.
Isn't he supposed to press *6?
Hey, Kenwan, I'm going to call you. We'll keep you up on the screen, and you talk on my phone. How's that work? Will that work, Mike? I don't know. We'll find out.
Hey, see, story time.
I don't know what.
I remember in 1972.
Are you there, brother?
Yeah.
Okay. There you guys, it is. All right.
Okay, Kenwan, we would love to see your smiling face. I don't know why we can't, but I just got my phone up against the microphone, brother. So go ahead. It's just floor is yours.
All right. So
What do you want me to talk about first?
I want you to how did you get involved in the same thing with Joe? What happened with you that opened people's eyes, Ken Wan? I think he tried to come back on and probably disconnected him here. Yep. Somebody go ahead and stall. Somebody, Roger, do a dance till we get him back up here.
Oh.
This is
break
crazy.
The bones.
Well, here, I've got a question while we're waiting on him, if you want, okay.
Yep, go ahead.
Here's my question. If I wake up tomorrow with COVID, what should I not do? Not do.
Don't get a ventilator. Don't let him text you.
Don't go to the hospital.
Don't go to the hospital.
Do not go to the hospital.
Don't get tested either.
Yeah, no
question. Here's your answer to your question, okay? You don't wait till you get COVID. You start bringing your immune system online. That's what you need to do. The secrets to doing all that is...
Okay, Tim, hang on, Tim. You didn't answer the question. We understand we ought to be on all kinds of protocol. He said tomorrow. If I get COVID tomorrow...
What should I not do?
It's too late to build anything. What should I
what
not
to
do?
Do to avoid
don't
it?
Drink milk or any dairy products.
What you do is...
Okay, you don't want to do that because you don't want... It's the main thing is you want to protect your respiratory system on this. One of the things that... because I've had it, and it was part of the reason why I got it was because I had just came off antibiotics. So my immune system was down. So the one thing that I've been doing, and also I encourage is when I brush my teeth in the morning and then I rinse my toothbrush out, I always have real hot water. And so it's really good to drink. Anyhow, the first thing you should drink in the morning is a big glass of water. But what I do now in this to help keep my lungs and everything going good is, like if you woke up tomorrow, is after you brush your teeth, then drink hot, like that hot water in through your mouth to go down there. And I'm telling you, Phil, I felt a lot better too in that. But that's the thing. If you was wake up tomorrow morning and had it, best thing is do is just stay away from folks, get rest, because the fatigue is really the thing that gets you if that's the symptom you get. And just watch the main thing to watch, because this is my doctor. I've got friends, a bunch of different friends who are physicians, and I know my own body. It was ride this out like a flu, but the thing to watch is high temperatures, which I actually had 102 and 3 at different times for a couple days, but I just kept pounding the fluids, you know, trying to keep my temperature down. And the other thing too is to watch the respiratory thing, and praise God, didn't have that problem. Part of my thing was drinking that hot water early in the morning and maybe one or two times throughout the day, because I didn't want to get a cough. And that's what I tell you. Make sure you get rest. Don't try to push through it. You just kind of get that rest and there. So that's what I would share is, like, the main thing is just kind of watch the respiratory thing, because that's the thing you don't want.
Is there ever a symptom, and maybe somebody else, is there ever a symptom where it says, this is serious, I better go to the ER?
That's the respiratory thing. That's what my physician was saying. That's the time that you have to really be seriously thinking. And that's why I was watching my wife, myself. She kind of had headaches. I had the higher temperature. We both, she lost her sense of smell. And that's kind of the big giveaway. She lost her sense of smell and taste. Still doesn't have that back, and I'm praying she gets it. But the flip side, my smelling, I smelled everything. I mean, it was like on steroids, and I had like a metallic taste in my mouth, and I didn't eat for 3 weeks, and I dropped like 25 pounds. And you know how much I like to eat, but I could not literally eat anything, but I forced myself. The other thing too would be, this would be a huge thing. And this is where I was considering it there for a second. my temperature just would not go down for a while. And I was waking up like four nights in a row with my shirt drenched, clothes drenched from kind of like the cold sweats. And I was getting dehydrated. And I don't care how much water you pound into you, you need trace minerals for the water to hit your internal organs and different things. But I was praying about it. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to the hospital, but I know well enough that they would do to me right now is they'd probably put intravenous, get some fluids in me that way. And boom, it hit me, having nine kids, Pedialyte. And that sucks to drink. But I tell you what, I drank one of those. And
what about over the counter Tylenol, ibuprofen, Aleve? Anybody, I've been told that you want to take those things, but not to take those things.
Well, here's from my nurse, Roger, my wife, and she actually talked with a black doctor from Texas, because we actually have our hydroxychloroquine and all the other combinations to that. The Tylenol, the problem is if you're running a low-grade fever, you really don't want to take Tylenol, because your fever in your body is actually fighting off the virus itself. So if you're running 101, 102, yes, you would take Tylenol. But if you're running a 99, it's called a low-grade fever, you do not want to take Tylenol. You can take ibuprofen, which is absolutely correct, because your body is fatigued from it, and that opens up your red blood cell capillaries. So actually the ibuprofens are better to take, but if you're running a low-grade fever, do not take Tylenol.
Okay, exactly. That's the same. That's what I did. There's a thing called Advil Dual Action, or there's a thing called Dual Action that has the pain reliever and the things in it. That's what we were told to take, and those things helped a lot.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for letting me ask that question. I know you may have other topics, but thank you.
Yeah. Well, Kenyon's back in, but I'm going to bump him till tomorrow. There's only 13 minutes left. Not enough time. It's not fair to him. So we can continue this discussion, actually.
If you're taking a leave, you've got to take Prilosec with that, because a leave will eat away your stomach lining. A lot of people don't realize that, but a leave is a high blood thinner. So if you're taking a leave, make sure you take
it. It's aspirin product.
Okay, so let me stop right here a second. Let me bring in Tim and Naomi, because they, the first thing Tim said is you got to boost your immune system. You got to change your diet. So Tim or Naomi, come on in here a second and just give us a brief overview or synopsis of what people ought to be doing right now to improve their immune systems. Can you do that?
Thank you, Coach, real quick. The same thing that you do to improve, also you do while you have the COVID, is just go ahead and eating natural foods such as vitamin C. You can get vitamin C from peppers. You can get vitamin C from your oranges. And the other
minerals.
Minerals. You need to get magnesium. You need to get zinc. So whether you're going through whatever routes you're going through in regards to reversing or supporting you, not only the pharmaceutical route, but also start eating natural foods that will assist your immune system when it's being infected, when it's being.
Okay, so hang on a minute, Tim. You're talking like one of those doctors. What the hell's a natural food? What do you mean by that? Everything I eat is natural. It's a cow. It's a born, right?
Thank you.
Let me share with you, Chick-fil-A is not a natural food. It looks like it is, but I have a four-year-old Chick-fil-A sandwich, two Chick-fil-A sandwiches that are 4 years old right now, sitting in my food display that I use to educate people. The bugs don't even want them. They've been sitting out in my cargo van for the last 3 months, and the bugs don't even want them. The mold does not even want them.
Okay, so, time out. Okay, so that's not a natural food. I get it. What should people be eating?
Oranges, apples, and also
fruits and vegetables in their natural form. If you're going to eat meat, it needs to be the grass-fed. If you're going to do fish, you really need no farmed fish because they're injected with all kinds of chemicals and growth hormones and such.
What about the produce aisle at Kroger's? Is that a proper vegetable aisle or not? Or is that been...
if it's organic?
If the rule of thumb...
I get mad when you say that. What does that mean, organic?
Yeah, the rule of thumb is eat your foods on a perimeter of a...
Cannot hear you.
Okay, there it is. How's that?
That's better. A lot better.
Okay. The rule of thumb is to eat your food on the perimeter of the grocery store and not down the aisles. Stay on the perimeter. That's where you get all your nutritious foods. And then another phrase that I learned is this. If it's a plant, eat it. If it's a made in a plant, don't eat it.
What do you mean made in a plant? What do you mean?
Everything that's boxed up, processed.
Oh, I got you. So a real live head of broccoli, you can go ahead and eat that. Probably not cook it, Tim, my Naomi. Eat it raw, is that best?
Eat it raw or slightly steam it and get it prepared to eat it easier.
If I may chime in here also, if you can get to a local farmer's market that are locally grown, that is your best vegetable. Stuff you're buying in the store has been picked early, especially fruits. And what happens, it has no nutritional value. So if you can get local farmer market food, that's the best way to go.
Dale, it's 20 degrees here. We don't have local farmer markets in the winter. We can do that in the spring and in the summer and in the fall maybe. But I get you. Yep.
You're right. I'm from Louisiana. We have it. I'm sorry, Coach.
I got you.
So the idea is this, is if you can't get the fresh stuff, go ahead and eat the ones in the grocery store. It's better than not getting anything at all. Anything that's passed, everything that is processed is packaged, and that is adulterated food. That is changed food.
What about honey? What about honey, Tim?
Buy honey locally, local honey, because it's actually formulated to your area.
Raw, unfiltered.
Right.
Raw, unfiltered.
Thank you.
Too many of the honeys in the grocery store have other garbage added to them. And really get to know who's doing the honey. We are in an area, and I tell you what, we have been down to the 20s at night, and during the day, we've just been in the 30s recently. But we have a farmer who is year-round because he's got the greenhouses. That's a possibility, even in Ohio and Indiana and these places, even Minnesota, where we're headed to in a little bit. If they've got a greenhouse. Coach, you asked about the organic. There is an argument that nothing is 100% organic, that's true because of all the chemtrails and such. But the conventional foods have been sprayed with glyphosate and other products to help them grow faster. Roundup is glyphosate. And they've been manipulated. The seeds have been manipulated to keep bugs off of them. If you grow things properly and have your soil proper, you don't have to deal with bugs.
Yep. I love you to death. Don't take this wrong. It's the middle of December here. I don't have time to grow. I don't have time to plant a tree.
Understand.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Now, another question. Another question here. I hear white sugar is superfood for cancer. Would you agree with that, Naomi?
Exactly. And, you know, we used to be in Savannah, and several years ago, the sugar factory down there blew up. I know people who... have worked in that factory, and they confirm that they use bleach to turn it white. Sugar is not naturally white. It comes from the sugar cane is brown. And when they do that, they take out all the nutrients from it.
Hey, Naomi, let me ask you a question, Naomi. What's your opinion of these powdered, sometimes called superfoods, where they mix maybe 40 different vegetables and fruits into a freeze-dried powdered form, and then you make a shake out of it? Are those beneficial?
Well, it depends on which one it is, and I push ingredients. I say get to know the ingredients. We have one that we absolutely love, and it is whole land and sea, I believe, is the formula, the company, and I'll put this information in the notes. But we absolutely love it because it's fermented before they freeze dry it. It is all organic, and there's no GMOs. And it is just, we really trust it. We have done our research. Don't just go to Walmart or to the grocery store and pull anything off the shelf just because it says that it's formulated with all these fruits and vegetables. There are so many companies that they're not really interested in our health. They're interested in getting the monies from this fad is what they call it, and they're just interested in the money because they're losing out on our part of the population if they don't get into this quote unquote fad.
Okay, so let me jump in real quick because I want to save myself from emails. Don't send me an email. Tell me quit being mean to Naomi. Okay, I wasn't being mean to Naomi. I'm a straight shooter, get to the point kind of guy. Okay, I love Naomi. And Tim.
I've got a question then. Naomi, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about my bag of Doritos.
Put them down.
Bag of Doritos. Is it over with?
Yes.
You're killing me, Roger.
Hey, Coach, can I step in here for a minute?
Well, yeah, but be careful.
All right. I want to talk to you guys as a farmer. I grew up on a dairy farm my whole life. There was a time when produce was not sold in your local Kroger, like strawberries. The season's gone out. So farmers, we can our strawberries. Because when it comes to December, I want a strawberry. So you got to learn how to can. We bought groceries when the season was in. Or we farm and did our canning when the season was in. If you depend on your local grocery store to feed you, you're going to die. When we was raised up in the 60s and the 50s, we canned our food. When we wanted strawberry, like I said, in December, we pulled out the candy jar, our cellar, and we had strawberries. So the mindset of going to a grocery store to make yourself survive, you're not going to do it.
Okay, Joseph, same thing. It's December in Ohio. I got to go to the grocery store. So we're talking about short-term and long-term fixes here, folks. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same point Roger made. What do I do tomorrow if I'm sick? You don't have time right for the immune system. Okay? Yes.
Coach. Right, yes, now, coach. Everybody on this thing needs to be taking vitamin D3. You got to take it. And you got to be serious about it.
Yes.
We've been doing studies. My daughter gets 10,000 units a day. And we do our blood tests every 6 months. This is not a joke. This is not a game. This is not just some woo-woo stuff. You need to get your test done. But the test is only $65 if you have to pay for it out of pocket. Vitamin D, zinc. The gentleman that was on earlier that said he lost his taste and smell. Taste and smell is always linked to a lack of zinc. We got to get some good zinc, vitamin D. And the other thing that you can use is elderberry. It's antiviral. Yes. It's the only thing we know in the natural that fights West Nile virus. It's antiviral. Elderberry. So you got to get some real basics. I don't care. And good silver, the good nano silver, nanotech silver, American Silver Biotics.
Brand I use. How about elderberry wine? That'll make my wife pleased.
Well, I'm for that, but you better get some concentrate first.
Just kidding. Hey, it's 8 o'clock. I got to run. Hey, listen, those of you going with us to D.C., I'll get some particulars to you here before you leave. Otherwise, those coming, see you at my house tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Let's roll. Let's go to Washington, D.C. Let's make a difference. Yeah, register online at CoachDaveLive.com if you're coming. Man, we have got a lot of stuff to talk about, don't we? I'm sorry, all of you who missed the after show. There's 51 of us, 81 of us. Is that right? 80. Holy Toledo. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.